Troy.
Tri-County
to, and use the, you know, I don't know if you can do it, but to take this test or a couple different methods of doing it, using, if you use the income test, using what Washington County recommended, which was the data from Oregon State Extension Service on the income, using the parcelization test, and I assume counties, don't you have classification of soils in your counties? And seeing what we can put together so you can take a board up there and say, does this work or doesn't it work? Because we're sitting here sort of fumbling through the language. Now, what if this happens and what if this happens? And we're looking at all the ways you can get around the language. And I guess we have to quickly make some decisions on if it's part of over here, if it's kind of for here, that kind of thing. I think there's pretty well agreement that you eliminate significant, because if you eliminate significant, you eliminate a lot of litigation. But it would be helpful for the committee to see, how does this work in actual practice? And does it work in actual practice? And I think we need to have that for Monday's meeting. And you've got all weekend.
Madam Chair.
Ron, is there anyone from LCDC that can help do any of this? Do you have planners on your staff that can help do that?
Monday morning.
They hire somebody. I think we could work with the counties and
Dick, do you have some? Can we? Is there any way that you can put that together by Monday so we can see how this works in actual practice? We don't want you to do the whole state. We want you to take a, you know.
Just tell them.
Dick's got some already.
Just tell them. Don't ask them.
Subpoena you.
But you might.
Of course you are. You're very creative, Ron.
No, what we're looking at, one of the things, Beth was just reminding me of this that they talked about the other time, is if we're going to look at a different method to make it easier for the counties and to make it work, try the quarter section or try the radius. I mean, don't be limited by the language in the bill. We're looking in this committee to make it work. And if it's a little different method, that's fine, as long as it works. Dick?
Madam Chair, I have maps here that show small ownership areas in Washington County that are presently, LCDC is requiring Washington County to go back and place in an EFU zone. I've worked with the maps and I've applied the small ownership test to the areas. And I have some genuine small ownership areas here that qualify. The test is workable. It's right here on these maps. Now, it may be that the suggestion the counties have made, it might be easier to apply a small ownership test using a radius method or a quarter section. Fine. But what I want the committee to understand is that what's in this bill is workable. It's on these maps. It's not difficult to do.
Okay, Dick, I guess what we're, I mean, because the counties also have to apply it. If the same thing will occur with a different method that's easier for them to apply, I think we should look at that. And that's all I'm asking. What I would like to do now, we will not go past 4 o'clock today. We are going to take a short 5-minute break. Please be back.
I'm first on the agenda when we get back. Is that right?
Yes, you are. I'm sorry, Representative Troop. I did not apologize.
No, that's fine.
But please be back in time.
Troop.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I sense that the committee has had really a very good and lively discussion this afternoon, and we've had the opportunity to go through and talk the provisions over pretty thoroughly. I'd like to see if we can move to the next step by making a motion. And I would like to move that on page 2, sub B, lines 2 and 3, that we say the land did not make a contribution to a farm operation, that we include the or a forest operation that is capable of producing $10,000 a year averaged over the growth cycle. That's on the amendments, and that was discussed yesterday with the various parties. And that we also take the Washington County proposal for determining income, that OSU study that talked about the, I think it was average gross income data by county, and include that as the language in section subsection B.
Representative Troop moves that on page 2, line 2.
Which version of page 2, line 2?
Representative Van Leeuwen, you got in front of you.
Okay, but it was not made clear.
No, B engrossed, and we're working off the portion that Beth hand engrossed as a result of that meeting.
That's correct.
So the amendment again is
the on page 2 that the land is not part of a
did not make a contribution.
The land did not make a contribution to a farm operation that produced 20,000 or more in gross income in the 3 to 5 years preceding the effective date of the act.
So he's deleting, moving to delete significant, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And where would you add this? Or a forest operation that is capable of producing 10,000 a year averaged over the growth cycle.
Okay.
Representative Anderson.
And then also adding the Washington County suggestion of using the OSU average gross income data, the Extension Service average gross income data, as an alternative to bringing in the specific records and determining income.
And this is, we can do this instead of doing exactly where that goes in the exact language. We can leave that up to Elizabeth if we adopt that concept, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Representative Anderson and then Representative Hill.
Elizabeth, this 10,000 forest operation, what was the discussion on that among the group? Did they come to any agreements on that, or was that just a suggestion?
The objective criteria.
Cliff, do you want to come up? Cliff sat in on that meeting the other day, as well as a Mr. Hill from AOI that grows trees. Beth?
Cliff, I believe yesterday we discussed some, as now there's a proposal for the OSU Extension Service to determine the $20,000 for a farm operation, that there was some objective, easily applied criterion for determining $10,000 for a forest operation. If you could explain the board feet, stumpage fee calculation as you have it there, which I am unfamiliar with.
All right. Yes, I'd be glad to.
Cliff, I need your name.
All right. Cliff Lamb, tree farmer from Lane County. Madam Chairperson, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking that if I could take about 2 minutes to give this a worldwide U.S. perspective on how good forest land is, I think maybe it might help the committee appreciate the extent to which this Ag for Oregon committee is saying, look, we really are considering that there are lands that to us are marginal, and we're willing to go ahead and see converted to other uses, especially when you consider worldwide facts about that. Will you focus on these little conical trees here that are right in the middle of this picture? They express the productivity in the different lands in the world here, and keep in mind that we're talking about 85 cubic feet. The average productivity for commercial forest lands in the United States is 44 point cubic feet. For the USSR, it's 15 cubic feet. But the fact of the matter is, if they could harvest and throw their timber onto the market all at one time, the rest of the world would just fold, because they have so much in Siberia, but it's hard to get to. You know, it takes a year to get it out. Then Canada, quite a heavy producer, which we compete with, their average productivity is 14.4 cubic feet. China, they're better off, 31.9. And then Scandinavia, who's just, you know, they can't do any better than what they're doing, 36 point cubic feet. And see, of course, Scandinavia is an exporting country. So you see, when we talk about 85 cubic feet on a world perspective, we're cutting off at a high level. Yes, Representative Hill.
Those are averages?
Yes.
For each country.
Those are averages.
Chairman?
Representative Priestley.
It always bothers me because I just assume that people that give these things understand that average is not a... You mean median, don't you? You don't, because average is meaningless in this kind of context.
This is so
sick. If you used average, it was kind of a way to trick person, I would say. Would you agree?
All I can say is that I am representing it the way that I understand it from here.
And what does it say there?
Let's say facts and figures about world forests. Annual growth per acre. To have an annual growth per acre, I'm assuming, and I'm think that if I could go back and look at it, it would reveal that it was in an average.
That it would be deceiving, couldn't it? But I don't want to get hung up on these details.
Let's.
It just bothers me. It irritates me that when people try to deceive and with numbers like that.
Yeah.
Averages are meaningless, aren't they? When you have, like, if you have $1,000 and I have a nickel and we have the average of $500, it's meaningless, isn't it?
I don't take it that way.
Madam Chair?
I really don't.
Representative
Yes.
Yeah.
In those figures are interesting to me, but is it your understanding that in arriving at those figures, only commercial lands were taken into account, not non-productive lands, but it was just the commercial lands that are actually under production? Is that your understanding?
I think for all the committee members that want to quibble about whether it's average, mean, if it, anything else, I think what he's trying to do is just give a very broad, general perspective.
Could we pass that around? I'd like to look.
Yes, I'd be glad.
Yeah. Before he gets into the meat of what he's going to say, so that there's some perspective.
Yeah, I really didn't intend to take a lot of time on this. Then I think here is the productivity table that I'd passed out earlier at an earlier time, and this is just to review that at the lower end here, the USDA has established, Forest Service table establishes 20 cubic feet per acre per year at the lower end of commercial production, and at the top, about 224. The Department of Agriculture, Secretary of the Department of Agriculture, in considering land use planning over the U.S., has established that prime timberland would begin at 85 cubic feet. So what we're proposing here is that on a U.S. policy, we would be retaining timberland, prime timberland. Now, this policy here recognizes important lands in addition to that. So we've said, well, there really isn't a lot of that kind of timberland here in northeastern Oregon. And I believe Hector had some figures, and I find for Lane County, I have some too, those that would fall below 85 cubic feet of wood production in Lane County, if I've added this all rightly, would be, let's see, no, I didn't.
The committee knows I can't add, don't ask me.
Anyway, 7,000 or 8,000. Yeah, 7,000 or 8,000 acres
you better not.
Of that, of Site 5 land. Then the next question is, the next question is, this, where we're considering that these lands that we're saving are being farmed, and we're saying, how much can you do to increase productivity by farming? First of all, Bulletin 201 is kind of like the Holy Bible of the Forest Service, only that's just the Old Testament. That's is what Mother Nature does with lands. Then recently have been developed what happens when you manage lands. Now, I haven't absorbed that. This has just recently come out. But basically, the industry has been saying for a long time that if you manage lands, you can double the production from them. I would say that was borne out in my timberland management plan. Because if you recall, at the top here was in the 200 cubic foot per acre. The forester, and I call my lands like mid-site, low mid-site, the forester here finds on one of my properties that I'd have managed 200 cubic feet per acre per year, and on the other 220. That's a quick background. Now, would you restate the question, please, again? I'm throwing everyone off.
We're talking about $10,000, which has been given as probably the amount that you would use in the income test for forest operations. You mentioned the other day that there was some objective criteria to arrive at that without asking somebody, show me how much money you made. And I think it had to do with number of board feet that should be produced under some, if under a managed farm, time, considering the site class, by the stumpage fee. That's really
good.
Poor.
You've said it. I don't need to say much more. But briefly, again, it's this, that another rule of thumb of tree farming is that if you manage, you should be able to raise 1,000 board feet per acre per year on mid-sites. Okay, presently, the best of my understanding is that 1,000 board feet of standing timber is worth about $150. 6 months ago, 9 months ago, it may have been like $100. So it's a volatile thing. And then if you just take your acres times that, then you can get a stumpage value. And we figured, I guess, about 66 acres times 150 times 1,000 board feet per acre would yield $10,000. Now, I was concerned about the same thing that you've shown concerns about. What happens through time with, we know, that volatile figure? Well, it seemed like to me if you're fixing the productivity, the dollar productivity of the land at a certain time in 83, perhaps you might consider doing the same thing, saying stumpage value is worth so much, $150, and somehow give it some fixed consistency there.
Madam Chair.
Representative Anderson.
You've given us 1,000 board feet on an average operation, well-managed or whatever, managed operation.
Yes.
Now, where do we plug in the soil types?
Well,
Representative Anderson, excuse me just a minute. Right now, what we're talking about is the one test, the income test. You would look at soil types. If they met the soil type, then you would look at income.
But if the county planner, when you come in to make this test, you're going to have 18 acres and it's going to be class 6 soil and you're going to manage it well. Now, does that class 6 soil raise 600 board feet or does it raise 1,000 board feet? Or does class 8 soil raise 200 board feet? I think it's significant where you've got to say the type of soil. Beth, you can't just take an average.
Beth, just a second, and then Representative Traher.
Cliff, the 1,000 board feet you took from some, you said some rule of thumb.
Yes.
Now, does that incorporate the notion of site class, or is it without consideration for that?
Yes, generally I'd say that considers the mid-site class 3. I think what Representative Anderson has referred to is perhaps important. I'm not capable of furnishing that kind of information. I very much would like to see the committee ask somebody from the School of Forestry to come in and to carry this to greater detail, something that, you know, you feel like you could really rely on. I believe I've tried to focus on the kinds of considerations that you need to use here. The Dr. Krieger from the School of Forest Extension might be the contact person, and he might designate somebody to present to you the kinds of information. As Representative Anderson, in my own experience, I would say even with good management, it may be pretty difficult to produce, even with the best management, it may be pretty difficult to produce 1,000 board feet per acre per year from something that raises 85 cubic feet. Strange to say, there's some things, this is a lot of productivity is a matter of our technology and research. Strange as it may seem to say, something like the Metropolitan Wastewater Sewage Program for a lot of these marginal lands that are around the valleys is going to make a difference. It may not raise timber to the heights and the quality that we would like to market as timber, but it may very well be the thing that produces fiber, wood fiber, that would meet these rates.
Representative Trainer.
Madam Chair, I think what we're hearing, and it kind of makes sense if we put it in perspective, there are so many variables on either farm or forest land. Research, the type of crop, the type of management, what the market's doing today versus next year or next year. To attempt to put a dollar value of income in the statutes on either farm or forest is not really what we're trying to accomplish, I think, in that these things are not static. They don't stay the same, and they're going to change over time. And it just seems more logical to me that we start talking about what we're looking at marginal lands, we start talking about what those sites are, what kind of soil do you have, recognizing that over time you can do some different things with those soils. But we want to keep the better farmland in farmland. We want to keep the good forest land in forest land, or at least allow it to go into it or whatever. But to tie that to some kind of a dollar amount that has so many other variables, I think is kidding ourselves. Okay.
Beth?
Cliff, I'm assuming, of course, site class is based upon cubic feet, or it...
Yes.
Site classes are cubic feet per acre, and we've been talking board feet here. In order to get into this, quote, income test, the factors that we were talking about, namely site class, all you would have to do is refer to it in terms of cubic feet, which would translate into board feet times the stumpage fee. Am I correct?
Yes.
So by that means, you would incorporate into the test the site class information. So that it would apply to a particular parcel.
Yeah. So, I guess at this point it's necessary to refer to board feet instead of cubic feet because that's the way we sell our timber. Mm-hmm. And, you know, until that changes, I guess we have to go through the mathematics to relate the two together.
Madam Chairperson?
Representative Priestley.
So what is Beth and this gentleman just concurred about is the fact that the income test in timber, at least, is just adding another factor, another variable, which is the price of the stumpage, huh? Isn't that it?
I think the reason this suggestion came up, and I think that you're correct, is because you can look to the OSU book for the extension book for the information on farm operation income, but there should also be an objective criterion for forest operation income, and that is generally the stumpage fee. Now, you would arrive at that, you could, the site class, translate that into board feet and multiply that by the stumpage fee, and then you don't have to ask someone for income information.
Hector, would you come up here for a minute, please? It's okay if you're sitting back there talking. I just want to ask you a question.
Sorry if I am the...
No, that's all right.
We're under,
No. There's nothing you missed. Believe me. Sitting here looking at this, trying to do, you know, Representative Traynor talked about it's hard to do an income test. Washington County came in with something, well, it's easier if you do it this way, you don't have to ask the people. Sitting here talking to Beth, how do you, what if you just used, forgot the income test on forest operation? And she points out to me, well, with the parcelization test, you would may include some very good land that truly aren't marginal lands if you don't have the income test on forest. So my next, after saying all of that, my next question is, what kind of trouble do we get into, or I mean, do we just absolutely open it wide up more than probably most of us on the committee would like if you used, and the acreage is open for debate, located in forgot test one and forgot test two, and just looked at located in an area of not less than 100 acres or 240 acres or 340 acres or 1,000 or whatever, composed predominantly of soils and in capability classes 4 through 8, and then looked at the producing 85 or more cubic feet of merchantable timber per acre per year. What if you just use that one test? What happens?
Hector McPherson, the problem that you get into whenever you don't use an income test is that you have operations, and if we're talking about forestry, I'd assume that primarily would be in eastern Oregon, where there is a very low productivity, and yet they're making a good thing of it because they got a lot of acres. So whenever you open it up, you open up a tremendous area, particularly in eastern Oregon if you're using a forestry test, unless you regionalized it, you know.
But say if we even regionalized the forestry lands. Let's just talk about right now lands that are predominantly in EFU or A&F lands, whatever their designation is. What kind of problems do we get into? Do you get into problems with grazing? Is that the main problem for not using just a soils test, period?
As far as the agricultural end of it, which I guess I may be even a little more familiar with, is that you have operations that there, and primarily it is grazing, which takes, there again, a lot more acres to produce the same number of dollars. Dollars are kind of a universal figure. We're saying that, well, they come and they go, but still, they are the thing that makes the relationship between forestry or ag or anything else, is that the dollar income that it takes to support a family is more fixed than most of these other things that you're dealing with. And it was our position that the only way that you could rule out these productive operations on a very diverse scale, that is, ones that take a lot of acres, was to include with them, and particularly this applies when you use your small ownership test.
Yeah,
and good land. Now we have two different. I think it is probably a whole lot more workable than simply use the quality of the soil and use the poor lands test. When you take the parcelization test, it's a lot more significant.
Right, but I'm saying if you threw out the income, you would have to throw out the parcelization. I mean, there's no way you could use a parcelization, it would seem to me.
I think you're right. I think that if you did that, you simply couldn't use the parcelization test at all, and you'd have to throw out that part of the law that we're talking about. It is more workable, and particularly if you regionalize the forestry test and perhaps even the agricultural test. But
the problems occur mainly on grazing lands.
Grazing lands and forestry are where the two problems are.
You could regionalize the forestry and probably address that
a little more closely.
More closely.
We could come much more closer. The more areas you consider taking the natural productivity that I'm sure the foresters could give us some greater information on, and perhaps do away with the income test.
Okay.
Why is it that you throw out the income test, you have to throw out the parcelization? Could you explain?
No.
Oh, because through parcelization, if you don't have the income test, through parcelization, you could get some wonderfully productive land in under the parcelization qualifications. I mean, you're really not accomplishing your goal unless you use parcelization. You have to use income. It would seem to me. Otherwise, you're talking about
small valuable pieces
of land. Representative Van Loo and Representative Hill.
Madam Chair, two of our county people just about came out of their seats a minute ago. I'd like to hear what they were wanting to say.
Okay, let me finish through the other people first. Representative Hill.
I wanted to raise a question in talking about farmlands and forest lands having separate tests to determine the marginal lands. Aren't there quite a few farm operations that contain wooded acreage? And perhaps that wooded acreage doesn't make a contribution to the farming operation? And where would that fall?
Are you asking?
Yeah.
I think we both say yes. Hector McPherson, the answer, of course, is yes, that there are a number, and particularly in your area, the foothill areas here in the valley. That's particularly true. A man may have a...